But I mean, we kind of got off on a tangent about dreams to kind of go circle back to the games and stuff, and the you know, whole motivational theme of the of this, I almost said stream, of this podcast.
Well, I mean, you know,
the interaction with people.
Exactly. Yeah. That, you know, I think that's one. That's a thing that keeps me down too, or doesn't help me working from home, is I don't get that social interaction. You know, I'm just talking to clients. We, you know, we do small talk, but really they want to know how I'm going to help them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I need more of like a relaxing, get to know people, make friends. Like Kevin and I went to a chili cook-off last night, and it was great. I mean, like I saw people I hadn't seen in a long time, you know, my friends, met new people. Kevin socialized. He's not really a big socializer, but he socialized and we just had really fun, a lot of fun, you know. It was real laid back, playing music. We danced a little bit. Well, he didn't, but I did. I danced a little bit, and it's like, this is what I've been missing. And, you know, my friend Jennifer, that was her house we were at. They had like a building. They had a bunch of chilies there. I mean, it was a ton of chilies and cornbread. So needless to say, I broke my fast. But she was like, we do this, you know, every other weekend. You can come whenever. You bring the kids. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I don't have to sit at home. I don't have to feel sorry for myself. Like, oh, I don't have any friends. I don't have, you know, social interaction. I just need to put myself out there, and I just feel a lot better. You know what I mean?
Plus, I'm hoping to, like, I mean, because at the same time, like, I do want to stick my nose to the grind. I want to get my work done, and then I want to be able to enjoy life once I start accomplishing things. But at the same time, you do need that break. You do need that interaction.
Yeah. And you know, I've listened to some audiobooks and some motivational talks where they say don't wait to be happy. You know, don't say once I accomplish this, then I'm going to be happy, because then it's just going to always be something else that you need to accomplish. Well, you know, I got this, but I need to reach for this. So try to find a way to be happy with the, what do they say? Like the climb, you know what I mean? The process.
Well, I mean, also I get that from my stream. My stream is one of my focuses of, you know, work. It's one of my sources of income. Mm-hmm. And I do get social interaction, not only through just the gaming, but through the stream itself of, you know, people chatting to me in the actual stream.
Yeah.
So that has always been a good source for me for social interaction in itself, is doing that.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
But yeah. I do need to get out more, because I don't, like, before living at home, you know, I have more friends back at home. I have more people who are like hitting me up like, hey, you want to go catch a movie? Or you want to go out to eat? You want to go do this? Want to go do that? While I was living down in South Carolina, I had like a couple people that I was still in semi-contact with, that I used to work with at different jobs I worked. But that was really it. Like, it wasn't like anything like serious. They were like, you know, past coworkers.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, it's only like maybe a couple that I consider friends, but they got, you know, they got their stuff going on.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like when I lived in Charlotte, it sucked for a while, but I mean, when I started working, it's easy for me. I feel like I'm a likable person. Okay. It's easy for me to make friends.
Yeah. I think I'm good at talking to people. You know, I've had jobs and stuff past where I've had to interact with people, and I'm good at speaking with them. When I was doing water and fire damages, I did that for 2 years. I was the one that they sent out to jobs to speak to the ornery homeowners. If someone was getting in trouble from, you know, some certain homeowners, and they were like, I'm not going back out there, I'm going to end up like fighting them. They'd be like, hey, where's Brooks at? So I'd go out there and I'd smooth things over.
Oh, see, maybe it's a genetic thing, because at the agency, when we had a client that wasn't happy, they were like, well, let's get Megan to call them, you know, to either keep them on or, you know, smooth things over, like you said. Yeah.
And so that's what I would do. I would go out there, smooth things over, you know, really reassure them, you know, go through the whole emotions, everything. And I was good at just speaking to them in general.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I'm good at social interaction, but I'm also reserved. Like, I don't like social interaction. If it was up to me, I would have no social interaction.
I understand. It's like, I've seen in these motivational videos where they talk about how you got to get out of your comfort zone to grow. If you stay in your comfort zone, you're never going to grow as a person. You have to find joy in being uncomfortable. And it's hard to do, as those are two opposite. Well, it's like an oxymoron, joy and being uncomfortable.
To be purposely putting yourself in that situation where you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, well, I mean, I've done that. Like, just last month, I told the agency where I was working full time that I'm not going to be working full time for them anymore, so I can grow in my own way, doing my own thing, doing the training that I want to do for people, and then doing the comedy and doing this podcast, and eventually, hopefully, doing the TV show. Those are the things that I really want to do. I like doing SEO and digital marketing. Like, I'm really good at it, but I wouldn't say it's like my calling. Like, you know, like I love comedy, and I've always loved comedy. I haven't always loved digital marketing.
it's not your passion. Like, you enjoy doing it, but it's not your passion.
But it pays the bills, so I do it.
Exactly.
Comedy hadn't really paid the bills lately, but I want to be able to eventually have that pay the bills. But at the same time, like, I like digital marketing, and if I had to do it forever, it's not something I would like dread. It's just, I kind of want to do it on my own terms. That's why I don't want to work for an agency. I would rather pick and choose the clients that I deal with so that I'm happy, because when I'm forced to work with clients I don't like, and I'm forced to work with clients that I know I can't help, it's like my work suffers and it looks bad on me, when really it's the agency forcing me to do these things. That's what I explained to them when I was like, I need to step away. I would rather pick and choose the clients that I can take on, because I know I can help them. I know I can show them results and make them happy. Whereas now I'm like forced to do these things that I just wouldn't choose to do. So that's my big thing, is doing more things I choose to versus things that I have to. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I mean, cause I have like the things I'm passionate about and things I want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good at other things. There are certain jobs I was really good at them. My quality inspection job, my water and fire damage job, you know, I was really good at those. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't passionate about it. Just because you can do something well doesn't mean that, you know, that you enjoy doing it.
Right. And you know, you kind of get stuck, like,
you get stuck in doing something to get by.
Exactly.
And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to, I mean, and like I said, right now, I feel like I'm in a situation where I don't have that safety net to fall on to just get by. Mm-hmm. And really my main focus, like everything else I'm doing right now with all my endeavors, I hope they all work out and everything, but really what I'm primarily focused on are my stories. Yeah. I have always, for the longest time, wanted to get these stories out of my head on paper and out in any type of medium, whether that be through a novel, a comic book, an anime, movie, you know, anything, to just be able to put a story out and say, this is a story that I came up with. This was my idea. And I like, let me get my list here. I got, all right, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories.
Wow.
Yeah, that vary in the types they are. They go from like horror to psychological thriller to survival, action horror, action comedies.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have quite a few. You know, those are the 8 main ones that have stuck with me. Like, I've had other ideas over like the past 15 years. But these 8 are the main ones that have stuck with me over that time period that I really want to get out there and say, hey, you know, this is an idea I had. This is a story. This is what happens in it. And just see what happens. Like, right. I'm like legit. Like, if the Sci-Fi Network approached me and was like, hey, we love your story, you know, we want to make a sci-fi movie about it, I'd be like, do it. Put it on the Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, Sci-Fi doesn't have like the best movies, but.
What? Sharknado, are you trying to say that that wasn't a good movie?
I mean, how many Oscars did that win?
God, I can't even count.
That's the thing, Sharknado became like a cult classic. Like, it's a comedy because
they made
it's so
like
bad.
So many of them, right? Yes. There's like 10 Sharknados.
And people watched them. People were like, oh, did you hear the new Sharknado's coming out? And like, oh shit.
Oh my God. Okay. So a guy that I worked with, like, he doesn't work at the company anymore, but he did sales. He was in a movie and I watched it because I wanted to see him in it. And it was like a movie about the chupacabra.
Oh my God.
The Chupacabra. I got to find it and I'm going to send it to you. But
I may have watched this. I've watched a couple of bad movies on the Chupacabra.
Oh my God. All right. So they were on like a cruise ship.
Was there a captain with a white beard?
Yes.
Oh my God. Me and Jesse watched that together.
Okay. So it also had, what's his name in it from Breaking Bad? You watch Breaking Bad, right?
I've seen Breaking Bad.
Okay. So it was the guy that owned the chicken restaurant, but it was actually a front for his,
I don't know that guy.
Anyways, but yeah, okay, you've seen it. So he played in it. He was one of the staff on the cruise ship.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
I really liked him, and the company did him wrong. That's another reason why I wanted to leave. They just don't do people right. But I've tried to reach out to him a few times after he left, and I hadn't heard anything from him. I hope he's doing okay, because I really liked him in the Chupacabra movie.
Do you have any lines? Was he just an extra?
Oh, yeah. No, he had some lines. Like, oh, he sent me a clip of him with his lines, you know, and made me want to watch the movie. Yeah. He'd also been in some other things like commercials and stuff. But this was like his baby, I guess.
I just got done telling Michael, too, you know, with my big beard, I may go ahead now and just grow my hair back out because I kept my hair short because someone preferred it that way. But I may go ahead and grow my hair back out and I can maybe get a part, like get super ripped and get a part as an extra, like as a Viking somewhere.
Or a motorcycler.
Yeah, I can be a motorcycler.
You can be a Viking motorcycler.
I can be a Viking motorcyclist, is I believe the correct term for that.
I prefer motorcycler.
the motorcycling?
My kids got me saying things wrong, like sting fly. That's what we call bees now.
Stink flies?
Stink flies, yeah.
Are you saying sting or stink?
Sting, like sting. They're going to sting you.
Oh, they're going to sting you. Sting flies.
Sting fly. There's flies, and then there's sting flies. Like Betsy with her China bee.
Oh, yeah.
She called Japanese hornets.
Japanese hornets for China bees.
Yeah. Yeah. She had cute little names for stuff. She would get her words mixed up a lot. Mm. I remember macaroni and cheese was chacaroni and me's. I never let her live that down. Fun times.
This definitely turned out to be a pretty good, I mean, we've strayed somewhat from the motivational stuff, but we also talked about things that could still be used to make you feel better, take your mind off things, and things that you can focus on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like everybody has to get into their own routine. Some things are universal. Like you need, it's better to wake up early than it is to sleep in. It's just better for you to wake up early. You get more stuff done. You know, you feel better during the day. It's better to exercise than it is to not exercise. You know, it's better to eat healthy than it is to not eat healthy. It's just these little choices that you need to make for yourself. But, you know, don't go all in. Do a little bit at a time. You know, don't overwhelm yourself, because a lot of times people say, okay, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to write my book. I'm going to do this. And they put too much stuff on their plate, and then they don't get none of it done because they're overwhelmed.
They quit everything.
And I'm speaking from experience, you know?
That's why with my workouts and stuff, it was just, first week is conditioning. Second week, I'm going to ramp it up a little bit. I'm taking baby steps.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to jump back into training like I used to do back in the day, where I'm just going to, you know, go outside and run like 2 miles before I start working out for like 2 hours.
Right. Yeah. See, that's with me. I like the classes. So they actually have weightlifting classes at the Y. It's called Body Pump. And you do the presses and everything. And I feel really good afterwards. And then I'll do a cardio. And then they have like a mixture of cardio and weight training classes. So,
and just to make sure, I think we talked about this before, this is the Y in our hometown, right?
Yes, it is.
It's the same one that me and Jackson used to go to.
Yes. And I really like, it's such a great atmosphere. People want to help you. Nobody is an asshole there. At least that I have experienced. Everybody I meet is really friendly. Like I met an old lady, Janice, in the she's got the locker right next to me, and she's like 65. She works where you used to work at Equity. She's been there for like 20 years. You might even know her. And yeah, I know about her kids. Oh, she's having some problems with her son right now. But I mean, you know, like it's just really friendly. And she asked me about my kids, and then the classes I take, they, you know, they, people see me like, hey, you're back. We missed you last week. You know, I just, I like that sense of community. It's something I also don't get while I'm working from home. And they have free childcare. I mean, you can't beat that, right? Yeah. And the boys like to go. They play basketball while I'm working out. The little ones are in the daycare room. And then the older ones, they can either go and play the basketball, or they can go to the old kid, the older kid's room. It's just such a great place. So what I do is I'll look at the class schedule, and then I'll pick three. I won't say I'm going to go every day, but if I feel like it, then I'll go more than three, but I'll have a set. I know at least I'm going to do three classes. These are the times that I'm going to do them.
Cause I was actually thinking too, like with me, you know, taking on these different things that can, you know, help, you know, support, you know, a new life for myself, that I can, since I can't drive, I can do this from anywhere. So if I do, or, you know, when something breaks for me, cause something's going to break for me, I'm going to keep pushing all this stuff until something breaks for me. And when that does, I'm considering moving back home. Once I'm able to, you know, stand on my own 2 feet.
Come on.
Yeah. So I might end up, you know, getting me a place back up there and being closer back, you know, to my friends and family.
Come on. Because, yeah.
You know, the work I'm trying to do, I can do from anywhere.
Well, you know, every time we have a family get together, they ask about you and they're like, is Brooks ever going to come back up here? And I'm like, I hope so. You know,
we've missed quite a few family events.
Yeah, and it's not, the people aren't mad at you about it. They just miss you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I know, and it's not, I don't want you to think it's also, you know, I keep wanting to call her like my wife or ex-wife. Like, I don't know how to call her right now. I'm just going to keep referring to her as ex-wife.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But I don't want you to blame my ex-wife, because it's not really like her fault. Mm-hmm. You know, it's both of our faults. We were so just slumped down where it's just like, we don't even want to go. It's like a 4-hour drive.
Oh yeah.
And, I think last time we actually came up there for that Christmas, when we started talking about the singing woman in the bathtub, that ghost story.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the last time we were actually up there. And when we did, you know, she drove the 4 hours up there, and then she was done. She was out like a light. She slept, and I drove the 4 hours back. And now we're at that point where, you know, previously, you know, that's not possible. Like, when we didn't, it was like really going to be rough on us to make that 4 hours there, 4 hours back, for just spending like, you know, 2 or 3 hours with the family.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, with my eyes, it's not like I can say, okay, let me go ahead and take over. I'll drive now.
Right. Yeah.
It would have been 8 hours driving for her.
Oh, yeah. That sucks. We probably should go see Kevin's family. They live in South Carolina more often than we do, but we have all the kids, and I get what you're saying. I totally get it.
It's easier not to.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And so a lot of stuff we did was with her side of the family.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more convenient. Her family's there. But, yeah, I mean.
Possibility, though. Possibility, like I said. Yeah. You know, once I get up and running on any one of these things to the point where I'm like, wow, I'm able to be on my own and stand on my own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A good feeling. It's a really good feeling.
I mean, I've had that before, but like I said, I've lost those avenues to go to. I've lost that safety net to fall back on to just make it by. And honestly, I don't want to make it by anymore. So I feel like when something actually happens for me from any of these one things that I'm trying to do with my life, that it's going to be like, wow, I'm glad that my eyes are going bad. I would have never done this. I would never push myself to this point had this, none of this ever happened.
Oh yeah. You know, it's exactly that. Like, Vera and KJ were my youngest, who I have with my current husband. if I hadn't had to go through what I had to go through with my divorce and dealing with all of that, and then, you know, finding out that I had the autoimmune disorder, mm-hmm. I would have never met Kevin, and I would have never had my two kids whom I mm-hmm. love, you know. I would have never got my girl because I had two boys before and I always wanted a girl. I got my girl, you know, yep. And I had to like walk through hell to get there.
Yeah. And so right now, like I'm, and that's probably something else everyone should really keep in mind is that if you're going through hard times right now, that you got to look at it as that this is going to make you, you're going to come out this better and stronger right. for it. And it's going to be, you're going to one day look back on this point and say, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad I went through that. I would never be where I am now had I yeah. not gone through that. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to look at this situation, and it's hard for me right now, just like it's hard for whoever's going through certain situations right now that's really bringing them down. It's mm-hmm. hard to think of it that way, but you got to think that that's where it's going to be. That's why I made right. that little call to myself, because I know somewhere down the road, and like I said, I'm getting that 5-year window where I'm trying to really try and grind stuff out and make stuff happen for me. You know, future Brooks is going to call past Brooks and give them the whole rundown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good, you know, I might steal that. I might do that myself.
Yeah, do that. I highly recommend that everyone do that. I mean, because it's really fun too. Like timing wise, like I can't wait to, I wasn't going to tell anybody about that when I did
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I was just going to do it, you know, whenever I make it and whatever I'm doing, but, and then just post it.
Yeah.
But
there we go. You know, I think about things and I'm like, you know, I picture myself like on the Joe Rogan podcast or, you know, Conan interviewing me.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I do. Oh, I'm sure everyone does that. I'm sure everyone's yeah. on the sofa with Conan O'Brien
or
Jimmy Fallon.
And I'm like, they're going to announce me. Like, what am I going to, what's my name? Like, am I going to change my name? Am I going to keep my name? I don't know. I'll figure that out. You know, they announce me, I come on, I give my wave.
Like, you're already planning it in your head.
Like, what dance am I going to do when I come out on Ellen? Yeah. Oh, I can't be the only one. I like, oh my God, I will be honest here. I will have conversations and like talk out loud.
I do too. By myself. I'm sure everyone does, because I do too. I talk to Conan and Jimmy Fallon all the time.
Yes.
Where I'm like, well, let me tell you, Jimmy.
Right. So. Yeah. All the little people I had to step on to get here.
Oh, I'm like, Conan, did you enjoy the house party that we had the other night? I saw you were there. I didn't get a chance to really talk to you then. I was super busy, but you had fun. All right.
Me and Conan were going to talk about how pasty we were.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm super pasty. So we were going to compare, you know, pastiness. See who was the pastier.
The pastiest.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of people would probably do that, especially when they're alone. Because I do that when I'm alone and I'm talking out loud. I'm talking to Jimmy Fallon or Conan.
But like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, that's not going to happen. But I'm like, wait a minute. It could happen. You can't just dismiss those kinds of thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure the people who are on there now never thought they'd be there talking
right.
to
them. Right, yeah. It, you know, I watched the Carpool Karaoke. You ever watch that with James Corden?
I know of it.
Okay. Well, he had Sam Smith. You know Sam Smith, right?
He's a singer.
He is a singer. Do you know him?
I know of him.
Do you know any of his songs?
There's that one where he sings.
I'm not good at a one night stand.
Yeah, that one. That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, he's on there and he's talking about how he put a song out and maybe it was on YouTube or something. And James Corden tweeted it. And at the time he tweeted it, Sam Smith was working in a bar. And he was like, you like really helped launch my career. And James Corden, like, remember tweeting it, but he didn't know that Sam Smith was working in a bar at that time, you know? And it was just kind of like, I bet Sam Smith, when he's, you know, was working at that bar, he thought, one day I'm going to meet James Corden, you know? And he did. He was in Carpool Karaoke, which James Corden's done with fucking Paul McCartney, you know? Like, some big name people. And there you go. It happened so quick, and it just took a tweet from somebody to launch him. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, anything is possible. Anything can happen. Yeah.
But you need to keep pushing until you get that break.
Right. You can't just keep ideas don't just make themselves, you know, you have to like execute an idea. You can't just have it and then that's the end of it.
Yep, people, you gotta put it in motion.
Right. And I mean, Paul McCartney, I just mentioned him on James Corden. He talked about, he came up with a lot of his songs from dreams. Did you know, Let It Be? He dreamed of it.
Really?
Yeah, so his mom died when he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And he said that he, you know, the band had started and he was like worried. And in his dream, his mom came to him and was like, don't worry, let it be. And then he woke up and was like, let it be. And then he wrote it. In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me singing words of wisdom. Let it be, you know, and it just like gave me goosebumps hearing him sing, you know, say that, because I dream about stuff all the time. Yes, Let It Be is like one of the most famous Beatles songs.
Honestly, the majority, if not all of my stories come from dreams.
Yeah. And can, think about it. If he had never took that dream and made it into a song, we wouldn't have the Beatles, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, would they have been as famous? So how many dreams have people had that they've just kind of thrown in the trash when it could have been something big?
And that's what I'm, honestly, that's what I'm trying to do with my writing, is when I'm trying to get these stories out there and just at least get them down on paper, get them out there. And then I've even looked into, like I looked up a quick like YouTube video about how to like pitch stuff to like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu.
Yeah.
Because I honestly think, like, you know, some of my ideas could make really good original movies. Like, they don't even have to be that. They can go to, like, any type of movies. Like I said, sci-fi came up and said, hey, we want to make a movie out of this. I'd be like, let's do it.
Well, you know, people, all right, so there's a subreddit where people do, like, horror stories. And executives read those. And they have bought the rights to some of these stories that people have just shared on Reddit.
Really?
Yes. I was reading a story, God, this was a few years ago, Warner Brothers bought the rights to it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they're like in process of making it a movie. It was a really good story. It like went into there's a subreddit called No Sleep, and there's rules in the subreddit where they're not real stories, but you have to, if you participate, you have to act as if these are real stories. Wow. Even when you comment on them, it has to be like you're commenting on a real story. It's pretty cool. You should check it out. But it's just where people like try out their short stories, and some of them are long. Some of them I have to come back to. It's like a creepypasta. You ever look at the creepypastas?
I mean, I know of them, but I never really looked at them. That's the thing. I'm not big on reading stories myself. I'm not big on watching like too many like different TV shows. Like I might catch, you know, I'm more of a movie goer and movie watcher. Like I'll watch movies.
Oh, I'm more of a TV show watcher. That's why I want to write a TV show, because I have seen I've seen more TV shows than most, I would say.
Yeah.
And they're all
that's probably why I'm like that with movies.
They're all like, I mean, All in the Family, Golden Girls, and then Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy. Most of the shows, I get people into shows, you know. I'm like, look,
yeah, that's like I've never been big on TV shows, but you got me watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, it's a good show. Like,
yeah.
And Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, he actually lived with motorcycle gangs for 2 years while he was writing the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he won't name the motorcycle gangs, but I think we all know who they are. The mild ones. Yeah, Cooper and Henry said that we were going to start a band and we were going to call it the mild ones. It's a SpongeBob joke if anybody else doesn't get it.
I don't get it.
You don't get it? Okay.
No, I don't get it.
So there's a motorcycle gang called the Wild Ones.
Oh.
And they left their W, and so they were all in a panic because the Wild Ones were going to come, and they've heard all these stories about the Wild Ones like tearing up the cities and causing mayhem, so everybody was like scared. And then the motorcycle gang pulls up and they're a bunch of old guys. And they're the Mild Ones. It wasn't a W, it was a M. You know, Mr. Krabs didn't care. He just thought that they were going to come and spend money. Mm-hmm. And I just remember one part, he's like, aren't you going to come spend some money? And the old guy said, aren't you going to kiss the seat of my pants? SpongeBob is entertaining for adults. Okay.
It it's well, I mean, one of those. That's like the things the cartoons have done these days is that they made it entertaining for both children and the adults who have to sit through them.
Has different meanings. Mm-hmm. There's a part on SpongeBob where SpongeBob tells Patrick, "Hey, Patrick, your genius is showing," and he looks down and says, "Where?" Kids aren't going to get that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, so we kind of went off on a tangent there.
Yeah, we probably should have just called our podcast "Off on a Tangent."
Yeah, I'm gonna put that in the description. But anyways, so we like what we like. We kind of, you know, evolve what we want to do into what we like, right? Yeah. You like to watch movies. You want to write some movies. I like TV shows. I want to write some TV shows. I love to watch stand-up comedy. It's my favorite thing to watch. I want to be a stand-up comedian.
I think the like really defining point for me though with wanting to be just a creator in general,
yeah,
whether that be content or writing or, you know, now this with the podcast, is the big point for me was when I first played Metal Gear Solid for the original PlayStation. Yeah. That was a huge impact on me. Where
that demo.
the story, it was the story of it. The story and the way it was told made me think, wow, this is like hitting me on like an emotional level. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to do this. I want to be able to create stuff like this that affects people the way this has affected me.
Oh man, like how much would you shit in your pants if one of your stories, somebody was like, I got to make a video game out of this?
I would love it. There's actually one in particular that is primarily was set to be like an idea for a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it has spiraled. This is like the main one that it's last on my list because it's my baby.
Yeah.
Like everything I write up until that is going to be, you know, just getting my feet warm and telling these other stories. I mean, there's still other good stories, but my baby is the one that I've been working on for 15 years. And it is going to be like a 4-part movie with 3 spinoff movies.
Oh.
Originally started out as a video game idea, could still be translated into a video game.
Nice.
But it is my Marvel universe, essentially.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be the next Stanley?
I would like to be. I mean, it's going to be happen. It's going to be really good. And I've actually, Jesse has been helping me a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the development of it, because we'll bounce ideas off of it. So when I go to write it, she's probably going to be helping a lot with like fleshing it out.
Well, when you get big and famous, we're still going to do these weekly podcasts, right?
Oh, yeah. We're still going to, I won't be... You know, doing it from like the sets of like the movies that I wrote.
I'm gonna help you write too, because obviously I'm a great writer. I mean, obviously. But yeah. Oh, you know, speaking of like movies or dreaming things into reality, I had a dream a long time ago about being in a motorcycle gang during a zombie apocalypse. I really missed out on that one. Days Gone.
Oh yeah, Days Gone, which actually got mixed reviews.
Kevin loved it.
Yeah.
Vera, my 4-year-old, loved watching him play and was very upset when it was over.
Oh.
Yeah. She loved Boozer. I don't know. One of the characters on there.
Mm-hmm. I've actually never played it. Well. I'm still fairly fresh to the PlayStation world. I've played The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Of course, and I played that.
Yeah. Henry has a PlayStation. He really wanted a PlayStation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Kevin's always had a PlayStation. I tried to get him into Xbox, but he just can't do it.
Well, I actually have, two of my stories are, based on kind of zombie survival based stories.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have, two of my stories when they come out are going to be, having to do with zombies, and they're pretty good. And once again, based off of dreams, super cinematic movie length, like dreams. Where I mean, I woke up and I only remember like bits and pieces of it, but I remember like when I was dreaming, like it was like watching a movie.
Right. Yeah.
And when I woke up, I was like legit. Like I was like, wow, that is a really good story.
You know, I've even thought of like writing like a memoir because some of the shit I've been through in my life, it could be a good show or like a movie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have to kind of beef it up a little bit, but.
Yeah. I don't think, maybe not right now, but maybe once I turn my life around and become super successful, then I'd probably do it. Because as it's going right now, like, it'd be like a super, like, hey, are we watching a comedy or a tragedy? Right. What is this? What are we watching right now?
There's a book called Angela's Ashes, and it's a guy that is telling the story of his childhood up into adulthood from where he grew up in Ireland and then came to the States. The ending is him coming to the States. Uh-huh. And you should read it. It's a really good read, but it's some dark points in there, and there's funny points, and then there's some really dark points. But it's like, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, he talks about, you know, people getting tuberculosis and dying, and, you know, like, stuff there was no cure for, and how he took advantage of a girl that had TB, and then he was scared he was gonna get it. Like, it's some dark, but it's good. But, I mean, nobody knew who this guy was until he wrote the book about his life, you know? And I'm pretty sure it's a movie, and I tried to watch it, but I couldn't. His dad was played by the guy that was in the movie Full Monty, the main character. You ever watch that movie? Where they're unemployed, and they decide to become strippers.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's an English movie, but... Oh. It's got him in it, and it's got the old English actor. He's in a lot of things. He plays General Cornwallis in The Patriot. He's one of the strippers. What? Yes, because he's unemployed. Oh, it is really good. Huh. You probably remember it from seeing it when they're in the unemployment line, and I want some hot stuff, baby, this evening, and they all start dancing. They're like thrusting when he says hot stuff. That's one of the most famous scenes from the movie.
I don't think I know of this.
There's a scene in the movie where they decide they're going to try to, you know, get back and work, and they're all in the unemployment line, and the hot stuff, that's like their song, comes on, and you could see them all like dancing and thrusting, and they all look at each other and they're like, all right, we're going back to stripping. But yeah, anyways, okay, again, off on a tangent. He's in that, and it's okay movie, but the book is better. For me, I have to read the book before I see the movie. If I see a movie, then it's hard for me to read the book, because I like to come up with the characters in my head. But if I watch the movie, then it's the movie.
Then they're already made for you.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. But yeah.
Sam, so, I mean, well, once I get done with a pretty good portion, like I have right now, Jessie is like my editor, I guess. I've had her read a good... nice little chunk of what I've wrote down so far of my current book that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And maybe once I get a nice chunk of it, I can send it to you and just be like, hey, what do you think of this?
Yeah. Send it on over. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of books.
I mean, this first one I'm doing is a fairly simple one. That's why I'm picked it for my first project, because it's simple. It's a good way for me to kind of test the waters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's still really good. It's another one based off of a dream. And
yeah.
And I hope that it does kind of help. Like, cause I have this one and I'm going to put it out there. You know, I'm going to do as much as I can to push it out there, get it out to the world, and hope it's received well. But as soon as I'm done with that one, you know, I may take a little bit of a breather, but I'm going to jump right into my next one on my list.
There you go. Well, and I mean, you can self-publish on Amazon these days. I've helped clients do that.
Yeah, so I may go that route.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of books that were self-published on Amazon have become movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey. It wasn't... It was fan fiction for Twilight, the movie Twilight, the Twilight series. Uh-huh. She wrote it as fan fiction and posted it on the website. It was like a fan fiction Twilight website. And it was so, like, people really loved it. For some reason. And so so it wasn't really self-published, but she just kind of put it out there for free, and then a publisher came along and was like, look, we want to publish this for you, and then it became movies. So
I'm trying to, it's been pouring out of me here lately. Mm-hmm. Because it's pretty symbolic of what I'm going through, which is why I'm like really pushing on it, because I almost identify with it.
Right.
And it's weird because the story was already in my head before all this stuff started happening to me.
Right.
And it's just now that it's like I'm really kind of identifying with this main character that I have, and I'm trying my best to pour out as much as I can of all my ideas onto paper and get it done. And I'm kind of just, you know, I've got over like 11,000 words now. I'm just kind of, you know, tip of the iceberg. I'm like, I still got all this other stuff I need to put in this. I still need to make sure I talk about this and I do this. I put that in it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's what I'm doing to motivate myself. What I'm doing, trying to better myself, is that I'm having something I can focus on, something I enjoy doing. And I'm going to try my best to get it out there. And like I said, regardless of if it takes off or fails or helps to launch a career for me in writing in general, or, you know, with my storytelling in any type of medium, I'm going to move on to the next one. I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I hear, Gary Vee, I don't know if you listen to him. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's very entrepreneurial, though. It's more of people that want their own business type stuff. But it can cross over to anything. Yeah. He talks about the difference between successful and unsuccessful people. And he's like, the main difference is successful people have heard the word no more than unsuccessful people, because they put themselves out there more. They've tried more. They failed more, but they just kept going. And the unsuccessful people will fail and be like, I quit, you know? So that's the main difference, is the successful people have heard no more than the unsuccessful.
I feel like for myself, and I'm pretty sure for a bunch of people, I never gave myself a chance to fail. Yeah. I've always stopped myself short for the fear of failing.
Yeah. I think that's a big issue with a lot of people, is they don't want their comfort. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you can't grow unless you get uncomfortable. And
I think it was Will Smith. He said something, it may be into this effect, I'm not sure if it is word for word, but he said, on the other side of fear is success.
Right. Yeah. You know, he has this video where he's talking about going skydiving. Have you seen that?
I have. I think that's actually where I got that quote from.
Yeah. Where he talks about how he's scared. Mm-hmm. And then it was all for nothing. You know,
it was the that once you just see it as that fear, once you make that accomplishment, you know, it's nothing to be afraid of at all.
Right. You like, and I've been skydiving, and I never, ever thought that I would go skydiving. I always said, I'm never going to go skydiving. And I married a guy that is an adrenaline junkie. I went skydiving with him. This was his like fourth time going skydiving, but he wanted me to go with him. And so I did it for him. But then after I did it, I realized I did it for me too.
Yeah.
You know, like if you watch the video of me doing it, the whole time it looks like I'm giving birth, because I'm doing breathing, you know,
doing some Lamaze.
Yeah. And Kevin keeps trying to talk to me, and I'm just like, no, don't talk to me. No, because I had to keep my mindset, or I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. You're going to back out.
Yeah. I had to go first, because if Kevin went first, I knew I wasn't going to do it.
What was, there was a ride that we went on at Carowinds. It was me, you, and Jesse, and you and Jesse were talking behind me about backing out, and I turned around and said, y'all better not fucking back out.
It was the drop zone.
Yeah,
right?
Drop zone. That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was because the big column thing that had the seats around it, and it would go up and then just drop you down.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all were going to back out. I was like, y'all are not backing out of this.
All right. I'm terrified of rides. People don't know that. And I rode everything at Carowinds because I teach this to my kids. I'm like, I do it scared. That's how you do things. Yeah. You are scared. You can't keep yourself from getting scared, but you can still do. And I told Henry, this is a funny story, how I'm scared of flying. And I said, I'm even more scared of flying by myself. But let me tell you, Henry, I went to Florida and I flew on a plane by myself. And Henry was like 4, and he was like, oh, where were the other passengers? I was like, oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, with nobody I knew. He thought I was just in an empty plane.
I mean, I guess that would be kind of creepy, too.
Well, I did say by myself, so. Yeah. But, yeah, I've done so many things in my life, and I would have never done them if fear kept me from doing it.
And even right now, like, this, everything that I'm trying to do, I am afraid that I'm going to fail. I'm afraid that I'm putting forth this effort that is going to do nothing in return, but I got to do it. Like I said, I have no other avenues to turn to. This is my dream. This is the stuff that I've wanted to do for a very long time. And I need to succeed.
I think my mindset is it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like a lot of people have it. Like if I fail, it's going to be it. No, it's not it. You have to fail to succeed. So if you don't fail, you're not going to succeed.
Exactly. Like I said, my first story could be a flop, could be awful, could not be well received, could be torn apart, but I'm going to jump right into my next story.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to crunch that one out.
All of these actors, business owners, they all have the similar stories of failing. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan did not make his high school basketball team. Now think about that. If he had to quit right there, oh, I didn't make it, we wouldn't have fucking Michael Jordan right now.
Yep.
You know? So many people fail their first time, but it instead of the failing, like, ending it, it's just fuel. You know? Like, oh, this is what I need to do differently next time. It's a learning experience. It's not the end of the road. It's just a bump.
I'm sorry, during that whole time, the only thing I can think of is Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer from Top Gun going, I feel the need to succeed.
Oh my God, are you going to be watching Top Gun 2?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to watch Top Gun 2.
Oh, you know that I saw Tom Cruise's house when I was in LA, right?
What? When I was in Prague for the 2007 Gears of War World Tournament, I got to go up the same steps and across the same bridge that Tom Cruise ran across in Mission Impossible.
Well, I
asked a tour guide. He was telling us about it, and I was like raising my hand, and he was like, yes. I was like, when do we get to meet Tom Cruise?
Well, when Jesse went with me to LA, we went on the Hollywood tour, you know, and it turned into like, this is where all these actors died. But we also got to see some houses in between. Mm-hmm. And we saw Tom Cruise's house, and he said that when the flag is raised, Tom Cruise is at home. And when the flag's down, he's not at home. And the flag was raised.
So he was at home.
He was at home. We were with him. Oh, yeah. We were right there.
I guess I probably should put this out there. I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. Tom Cruise is like my man crush.
If you didn't know this.
Yeah. If you weren't aware already, yeah. Tom Cruise is my man crush. Like, yeah. I think there's like everyone has that that one person they'd be gay for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is mine.
Okay. Oh, for me, it would be, what's her name? Christina Hendricks. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Who's Christina Hendricks?
Oh, from Mad Men. Did you ever watch Mad Men? Again, I'm the TV show girl. She's in a lot of things. She's also in that new show on Netflix, Bad Girls or Good Girls. Something like that. Are you looking her up?
Yeah, I'm Googling.
She's married to the guy. He's a movie maker, but he was also in a Super Troopers. He was the high guy in the back. They're married in real life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, my female crush is still and will always be Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell people of your song. You have to sing it now, though.
Oh, shit, I do now, don't I?
Yeah.
All right, so even when I was little, how old was I?
Oh, my God, you were 10 tops, yeah. Right?
So Sigourney Weaver has been like my crush for like 20 years.
Yeah.
20-something years.
What are you going to do if, okay, we're on Conan, and they know that Sigourney Weaver is your, like, crush.
Oh, they
crush.
Do that shit where they bring out your celebrity crush?
Yes, like they did to Pink with Johnny Depp.
Oh, God. I don't know what I would do if I met Sigourney Weaver. I don't propose. I don't know. But I mean, I'd made this song up, which I don't even know how it came about. Hang on, let me pray here for a minute. Hang on. Hang on. How does it start? Wait, give me how it starts.
Oh my God. Oh God, I can't remember. I just know the one part. Hold on. You like to go swimming with bald women.
Yes, because she had a shaved head in Aliens 3. She did. So I go swimming with bald women because it turns me on. Like Sigourney Weaver, she's been like a beaver, and I should know.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so you got to add songwriting to your goals.
Oh, man.
You know, if we do our TV show, we got to have a part for Sigourney Weaver.
Yep, we got to have, like, we just got to need to write in our celebrity crushes so we can at least meet them.
Oh, well, you know, I think a good thing for the TV show would be, like, you're obsessed with Sigourney Weaver and it always shows you just missing her.
That would be pretty good. That would be pretty good.
Like you're leaving a cafe and then she walks in.
Yeah. And it's like super apparent, like in my like little dressing room, I have like posters of Sigourney Weaver everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to come to an end. It's already, it's been 2 hours.
I hear the alarm going off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I gotta go. Oh, he wants in.
Well, it's been fun.
Yeah. So until next time.
Until next time.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.